السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, respected brothers, sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers, last week we discussed this ayat of the Quran Sharif briefly, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions the stages of hayatul dunya. What is this hayatul dunya? The life of this world. So Allah Ta'ala says that must know very, very well that this life, or the life of this world, is la'ibun wa lahwun wa zinatun wa tafakhurun bainakum wa takathurun fil amwali wal awlad. It is play, amusement. I explained that lahu is that play in which there is no real purpose, or it does not have any kind of real benefit in mind. Those little children who play with their toys, there's no real benefit that they have in mind of this world, of the akhirah, through that game that they are playing. It is just a pastime, enjoyment. Then as they grow up a little, as a little bit of understanding comes, then the youth will play games, or young boys and girls will play those games in which exercise or some kind of physical benefit will be by the way. But the whole purpose and objective is again nothing but amusement, enjoyment, fun and play. And then as the person becomes a young person, then he keeps looking into the mirror, and after that it is beautification, decoration, pomp. The person is now interested in wearing good clothes, driving good car, using good cell phone, all the latest technology. That is what the person's mind then goes in. And then as the person grows older, I'm just giving an explanation of this, and as the person grows older, then after that it is takasurun fil amwali wal awlad. Then now there is mutual rivalry in wealth and in children. In fact, nowadays they consider it to be some kind of good fortune or some kind of a status symbol if they have just one or two children. And the whole world, that is what they are propagating, that they must be just one or two children that a family must have. But if you have to look at the olden day societies, then in those days the rivalry was over who has got more children, who has got more grandchildren. And they used to keep on counting their wealth and the children when it came to rivalry. Everyone boasted about how much of wealth he's got when they came to old age, or how much of children they have and grandchildren. Generally, that was the situation. Even today in many places this is still prevalent. So that is the hayat of dunya. This is a majlis of islah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through the Quran Sharif ayat is making our islah. That this world Allah ta'ala has created for us, it is for our benefit, we must make use of it. But at the same time, we must be very, very cautious and careful that we don't fall into these traps of nafs and shaitan. So we have discussed this last week, kama zale ghaythin ajab al kuffara nabatuhu, the likeness of vegetation which is caused due to the rainfall that has come down. The rainfall comes and then there's vegetation, and that vegetation gives those farmers and tillers great amount of excitement and happiness, that they feel that they have now succeeded. They planted the seeds, they watered the crops, and they kept on waiting, and now these rains came, and after that they see the crops are growing. So it gives them great amount of excitement and happiness. So that is what hayatul dunya is. But then what happens to that vegetation? Then you see it drying up, turning yellow, and then turning to stalk. That is what happens. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. Now that is where we stopped. In the Akhirat, Allah Ta'ala says, عَذَابِ شَدِيدٌ for the kuffar, for the mushrikeen, or for those people who denied Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's existence, those people who lived their life in this world not believing in the Day of Judgment, in the Akhirat, in Jannat and Jahannam. So then in the hereafter, they will see nothing but azab-e shadid, very, very severe penalty and punishment and azab from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now that is for the disbelievers, and also those believers who were very sinful and did not obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then for them too it is azab-e shadid. But the difference is this, that because of their iman, they will then be taken out of the fire of Jahannam and put into Jannat. Whereas the others will remain there forever and ever. And if that doubt comes into our minds, then I have discussed it before also, that why will they remain forever in Jahannam, and why will the believers remain forever in Jannat? It is simple to understand that if you had to ask a person who is a disbeliever, whilst he is a disbeliever, that how long do you intend remaining a disbeliever in Allah Ta'ala? If you have to tell an atheist that you say you don't believe in Allah, you don't believe in His existence, so how long do you intend remaining in this disbelief? So he will tell you lifelong. That means if he had to be given 1,000,000 years of life, then too he will remain on that belief. And if you have to ask a Muslim that how long do you intend remaining as a believer in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that person will say that I intend believing in my Allah until my dying day, until my last breath. Which means that if this person was given 1,000,000,000 years of life, then his intention is to remain believing in Allah Ta'ala. So look at the barakat of the intention, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with the barakat of that intention is now giving him with his fazal and kindness everlasting Jannat. And that person who had his intention to remain a disbeliever all his life, so now on his intention, which was a genuine intention, that if he had remained, that is what he would have done, Allah ta'ala is keeping him in hell. So it is not difficult to understand that. So for those people there will be azab, there will be very, very severe punishment. But for the believers, for those who obeyed Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they did not disobey, they did not fall into the traps and the webs of nafs and shaitan, then for them is maghfirat from Allah Ta'ala and His pleasure. This is what a Muslim tries to achieve in his life in this world. He wants to get maghfirat from Allah Ta'ala, forgiveness for his shortcomings, his sins, his faults, his weaknesses. And he wants to gain the radha and the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. There is no other way to to benefit from the bounties of Allah Ta'ala or from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala except by pleasing Allah Ta'ala. Which other way is there? If a son wants to benefit from his father's wealth, his property, his car, his home, and all the other things that he possesses, now in his lifetime, if he wants to benefit from that father's kindness, then which other way is there but that the son pleases that father? If he is going to go on displeasing him, then will the father go on giving? Therefore, he said that when somebody said, why is it that so many people are making dua in the world, so many people are begging and pleading to Allah Ta'ala to remove the difficulties and the problems of mankind, but still we do not seem to see the fruits of those duas? So besides the other explanations, one of it was that we have displeased Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and we are not making an effort to please Him. So people can go on making dua, but we are not making that effort to please Him, then how do we expect Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy to come? So this Rizwan, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, it is a very, very great thing. For Rizwanu min Allahi Akbar. At the moment we get some kind of wealth, property, assets, good health, good car, good home, then we truly believe that now we are not in need of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Life will remain like that. Enjoyment and pleasure all over life, in this world, in the Akhirah. So that is the attitude of the kuffar, the mushrikeen, and those who disbelieve in Allah Ta'ala. That if you have sufficiency in wealth and property and in health, so then you don't require Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in your life. That is their attitude. Whereas for them it is a test. For the believers it is an ni'mat. If Allah Ta'ala gives good health, He gives wealth, He gives property, He gives everything else, it's a ni'mat, it's a blessing. But if it is coming with the disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then definitely it is not something to be happy about, it is something to be worried about. If Allah Ta'ala is giving plentiful in spite of his disobedience that we are engaging in, so then the person has to take lessons from the stories of the people of the past, all those Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam and their communities. The Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam warned them, they gave them glad tidings, they invited them towards Allah Ta'ala's oneness, belief in Jannah, Jahannam, belief in the life after death on the day of judgment. But when they did not obey, then what did Allah Ta'ala do to them? The final destruction that came upon them. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. What is this mata'u dunya? It is mata'u al-ghurur. This hayatu dunya, it is mata'u al-ghurur. The life of this world is an enjoyment of deception. We can translate it or give the meaning, enjoyment of deception. That there is enjoyment, there is some kind of enjoyment. Nobody denies that. In the life of this world, there is some kind of enjoyment. If the person is getting all those ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala in spite of his disobedience, then there is some enjoyment. The person must be getting some enjoyment. We can't tell the person who is disbelieving, I don't see you having any kind of enjoyment in this world. And yet that person will say, look at the luxury yacht I've got, look at the timeshare flats I've got, and look at my buildings and properties, and look at my gold mine and silver mine, and look at the shares which have multiplied 100 times. And so now that person will say, I'm getting a lot of enjoyment, I don't know what you're talking about, seems like you have got no enjoyment in your life. So we look at the outside and we say that that is enjoyment. But that kind of enjoyment, which is short-lived, is not an enjoyment which a person should be giving his life for. Like if a person is told that you have two options. One is that you live in this home, which is in a dilapidated condition. The roof is leaking, the windows are broken. When it is windy, the wind blows through the house. The floors and the carpet and everything is all in a very poor condition. But you live in this home for 10 days, 20 days, or 1 year, and after that we will give you a palace with everything in it forever and ever. That is one option. That first you live in this and then you will have a palace and you will have everything at your will and command. Whatever you desire, it will be at your, it will be available for you. You will have servants, you will have everything that a person desires from the world of luxuries. And the other option is this, that first we give you a palace with all the luxuries in there, with everything at your command, good cars, good furniture, good food, servants, everything, whatever you want. But just that you will live in there for a year or for 2 years, and after that, then for lifelong, you will have to live in a 2x2 room, like a prison, without any lights, without any air conditioning, without any kind of furniture, and you will suffer all kinds of problems in that home. So what would the intelligent person choose? The intelligent person will say, even if it is a little bit difficult for the first year or two in that home, which is in a dilapidated condition at present, but lifelong, if I'm going to get that kind of a palace, then that is a better choice. The intelligent person is not going to choose that palace for 2 years and after that lifelong suffer in a dungeon. So like that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent us to this world. Now for those who are disbelievers, sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them plentiful in this world, plentiful. But that is like that person getting it for a year or two. So for that little lifespan of that person, even if he lives for 100 years, what is it in comparison with the millions of years in the Akhirat? Doesn't even work out to a second. So the intelligent person will say that I will choose Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ahkam, I will obey him, even though I may find some kind of a difficulty. I will obey the laws of halal and haram, even though I may earn a little less. But I will believe that there is barakat in that. And if I have to go through some trials and tests and difficulties, then I know that it is just for a few years of my life. And thereafter there is nothing but enjoyment and happiness and pleasure. That is what the person will say. The intelligent person. Dushmano ko aish aabo gil diya, dosto ko apna darde dil diya, unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili, humko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. So Allah Ta'ala sometimes gives like that to them. But on the shore also, they are experiencing great amount of restlessness and problems and destruction. And those who are believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they could be in the midst of storms, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them in their hearts a kind of sukoon, peace, tranquility, which the kings also don't know. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. It is an enjoyment of deception. The person does not have belief in Allah Ta'ala and he is enjoying those things which are forbidden. Nobody stops a person from enjoying those ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala which Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. Why else has he given those ni'mats? If a father buys for the son or for the child something, or the mother buys for the child something, and the child refuses to wear it, with great muhabbat and love, the parents bought some nice jersey, jacket, clothes for the children, and the children refuse to wear it. They say, no, we will wear the torn and tattered clothes. So will the parents be happy with that? They will say, we are buying it for you with muhabbat, with love, and we are giving it to you. And it is also halal. It is according to Sharia. Now if you don't use it, it means that you are making nashukri of that ni'mat. That is what it means. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثِ. So now the child, if he wears that, if the child wears that garment or wears those clothes, it brings happiness even into the heart of the parents. The parents look at the child and say, how nice you are looking. So Allah Ta'ala, why else did he give those ni'mats? He wants us to use those ni'mats. Therefore one person in his food, he used to pour water inside and make it tasteless. He used to make the food tasteless and eat. Like if it's gravy curry, then he pours another 1 liter of water inside. and makes it tasteless. So when Allah Wala asked him that, why do you do this? He says, no, I am punishing my nafs. I don't want to enjoy anything in this world so that I can enjoy in the akhirah. So he told him, that's foolishness. If you had enjoyed that food, the deliciously cooked food, if you had enjoyed it, then Alhamdulillah would have come out from the depths of your heart. You would have made shukr of Allah Ta'ala on the ni'mat. Now you made it tasteless, so even Alhamdulillah doesn't come out. Therefore, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali told us that Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Ali, Pani piyo to thanda piyo. Taake dil se Allah nikle, dil se Alhamdulillah nikle. Now that again doesn't mean that every person, no matter whether he's sick or well, he must go and start drinking ice water. And he'll start complaining after. So ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala does not say that we must not enjoy. 120 times you must have heard that. But if it comes to mind, mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se kaisi baghawat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza abru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat. So these people who are enjoying, as we said, that is in mataul ghurur. So those who are enjoying with the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so then we believe, we accept. He says, mana maasiyat mein, Hazrat Hakim Shah Damat Barakatuhum, he says, mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat. We acknowledge that indeed in disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there is a little while of pleasure. Haram pleasure. It's temporary pleasure. It's not a lasting pleasure. Zara si der mujrimana thodi lazzat. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi bagawat. But what kind of arrogance this is, what kind of rebellion this is against the one who is your nourisher. As we say that the person bites the hand that feeds it. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the nourisher, He is the one who is sustaining us, He is the one who is blessing us with our sight, with our hearing, with our speech, with our heart, liver and lungs, with our health and wealth. And we disobey that same Allah using His bounties, not using something that we made ourselves or brought from the outside world somewhere. Whose bounties do we use? Allah Ta'ala's gifts we use for His disobedience. Look at our arrogance. Look at our namak harami. That we are challenging Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You have blessed us with all these ni'mats. You gave us sight, hearing, speech and heart, liver and lungs and intelligence. So we are going to use it for your disobedience and see what you can do to us. Nauzubillah. Mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se kaisi baghawat. It is only Allah Ta'ala who is so rahim, so kareem, so merciful, so forgiving, so kind, so generous, and so tolerant that He overlooks and overlooks and overlooks. Every time that the banda makes a mistake, and again he turns towards Allah Ta'ala and says, oh Allah, I made a mistake, forgive me. Allah Ta'ala says, well, okay, I forgive you again. Allah Ta'ala doesn't even say, how many times must I forgive you now? We will not tolerate anybody that disobeys us for even for a few moments or two or three times. First time we may give the person a chance, second time we say, okay, I overlook, and third time we say, get out from here. That is Allah Ta'ala's ihsan, it is only His fazal, His tolerance, that in spite of all our weaknesses and shortcomings, He still tolerates us. He doesn't throw us out. He gives us an opportunity to return to Him. Allah Ta'ala is so merciful that the person for 99 years or 90 years of his life, he was making Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, praying to his idol. And then one time by mistake it came out from his mouth, Ya Samad, Ya Samad. And Allah Ta'ala says, Labbaik Abdi Labbaik. Ye kushti to hai unse umr bhar ki, kabhi tu daba le, kabhi wo daba le. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, baharal koshish to aashiq na chode. Ye rishta mohabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. How can an aashiq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be happy and satisfied with this rishta of muhabbat having been snapped? Ask the people whom illicit love, that if there is a snap of that illicit love, their nights become restless. They can't sleep. Their health is affected. They have to take drugs for the depression. Why? Because the beloved has become angry. The beloved has become upset. And yet the beloved will turn to dust one day and he too will turn to dust one day. And also when he is sleeping, the beloved doesn't even know what he is going through, what agony and pain. But yet that person is so concerned about that love. So what about our Allah? How can we sleep comfortably? How can we eat with enjoyment? How can we get enjoyment in that food and drink? And how can we have fun and pleasure when we know that our Allah is displeased with us? That Allah who is listening, that Allah who knows everything that we are doing, is well aware. There is no question of concealing anything from Him. And He is that Allah that in the darkness of the night, if this person only turned towards Him, realizing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is merciful, forgiving, he doesn't even get up from his bed or make wuzu or go on the musalla. In his bed, he gets up and he realizes that I am a disobedient servant of my Rabb. I have displeased my Allah. So therefore, he starts begging for forgiveness in the darkness of that room and the darkness of the night. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala responds to his call. Just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala responded to the call of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, in the stomach of the whale, deep down the ocean, darkness upon darkness, darkness of the night, darkness of the waters of the ocean, and darkness of the stomach of the whale. Panadana. But when Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he called to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Panada fi zulumati Allah ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is responding to his call, removes his distress, listens to him. Deep down the ocean is his miraj. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is accepting his dua. Allah ta'ala gives him najat and salvation. And not only that, Allah ta'ala promises that even to the believers that will come afterwards, that is how Allah Ta'ala will give them also najat and salvation from their distress and from their agony and from their pain, like He gave to Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. So this banda of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has disobeyed Allah Ta'ala. But he is not arrogant, he is not proud, he is not boasting about his sins. He is pleading and crying to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the late part of the night. Allah Ta'ala will make him a waliullah. That is only our Allah. So it is mata'ul ghurur, enjoyment of deception. If the person is enjoying any ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala in disobedience, then it is mata'ul ghurur. It is deception. The person is believing that this enjoyment will remain forever and ever. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then as he mentioned earlier on, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. So now the choice is ours. We have to make a choice. In everything we use our intelligence and we make an effort. So why don't we make use of that same intelligence, and why don't we make the same effort when it comes to our deen? Why is it that deen only we leave to taqdeer? We say that's our taqdeer. Why don't make namaz? That's my taqdeer. Why you are watching haram? That's taqdeer. Why you engage in this sin or that sin? What must I do now? That's taqdeer. Why don't we say the same thing when it comes to our employment, when it comes to our professions, when it comes to our marriages, and when it comes to so many other issues of our life? There, why don't we say, taqdeer, I'll stay in my home, keep the door locked, and whatever is going to happen will happen. And if Allah Ta'ala can give a rizq and sustenance for the birds, so He will send it down into my room also. Why must I go and work in the marketplace? There with taqdeer, we also say must make tadbeer, must do something also, must make an effort. Allah Ta'ala's qudrat is there that He can give a child without the agency of a father, or without the agency of a father and mother, as in the case of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and in the case of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, without the agency of a father. That's Allah Ta'ala's qudrat. But will we say that because Allah Ta'ala gave Hazrat Maryam a son without the agency of a husband, so therefore now there's no need to marry. Every person must just sit and wait. Every woman will give birth. This is a world of means. We adopt means. Sumana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. How many times it has happened that one slip and the person is gone for life. One slip and he's gone for life. Literally sometime gone for life with one slip. The literal meaning. Doesn't the person go for life? In anger he took his gun and he pulled the trigger and he shot somebody. Now he's gone for life in prison. And at other times the respect is gone for life. How many young people and old people, how many men and women, they lost their respect. Allah Ta'ala had given dignity, Allah Ta'ala had given a place of respect in the hearts of people. There was a place for this person. But then he gets caught up in prostitute quarters or in some kind of other haram activity, or he goes and steals, or goes and commits some other kind of crime. Now he just got a little while of enjoyment. And sometimes the woman falls pregnant after that. It may be a non-Muslim family or a Muslim family. But now the person is facing all kinds of attacks and opposition and death threats and so many other things just because of that slip that the person made. Sarasi deraki lazzat hamesha ki nadamate. And the person regrets all his life after that in prison. Why did I do this? Why did I do this? What shortage was there in what Allah Ta'ala had given to me? What was the need to go and steal? So mata'ul ghurur wa mal hayatu dunya illa mata'ul ghurur. But human nature is this, that in whichever stage of life we are, we believe that that is the final state. That is the one that will last forever and ever. The child believes that that is the best part of life. The youth believes that that is the best. So therefore make the best of it. Haram, halal, sab kuch andar, lekin hai mast kalandar. So make use of the ni'mats and bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but don't let it become a deception. We must not be deceived. We must use our intelligence that there is akhirat. Allah Ta'ala will not just create the entire universe just for play and amusement. Even human beings, we will say that it is foolish if the person says that that is what he has invented something for. Nothing, there's no purpose, no objective, no nothing. Just play, enjoyment, nothing. And come to an end, turn to dust. If that was the case, then was there any need to send man into this world? So Allah Ta'ala, He is full of wisdom. And whatever is happening in this world is happening because of the actions of people in this world. It is bringing about the reaction from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We can go on and on until Qiyamah Day shouting and screaming and calling for change and asking for a revolution and everything else. But nothing will change until Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not make the decision. Allah Ta'ala is the one who makes the decision. Therefore, immediately after that, we are then told, سَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ سَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Every ayat of the Quran Sharif. That azmat of that ayat, if only we can understand. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is speaking. It is His kalam. It is not human being's kalam. But this, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity, then we will continue. So make use of the ni'mats and bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But let us not be deceived by our nafs and by shaitan. Shaitan is a very, very shrewd teacher. One person writes to me from Germany, said that I heard on the internet one of your talks in which you said, shaitan is a very shrewd teacher. So I always keep that before me all the time. That even in my actions, in my ibadat, or in whatever nasihat I make to somebody, or anything I do, I remember shaitan is a shrewd teacher. So I must not be deceived by shaitan. In other words, pride mustn't come, or I must not do it in a way that is displeasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Shaitan and nafs, they are our declared enemies. So they're not going to be helping us and assisting us. We have to discipline that nafs. Take it from that stage of nafs ammara bisu. At least to nafs lawwama first, and then nafs mutmainna. That when a person does something, at least his conscience must worry him. He must make tawbah, istighfar, say, Ya Allah, I made a mistake, forgive me. And until he reaches a stage where it pleases him to do everything that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, his nafs enjoys satisfaction, contentment. Anything that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala is pleasing to him. We have to reach that stage. Radiyatam radiyya. And it's not difficult. It does not mean that because the mahol, the environment is difficult, so therefore it's impossible. That is one thing we must forget about. We must never ever say it's impossible to practice. We hear this from many, many people. And it borders, in my opinion, it borders. I don't say it is. It borders on kufr. Why? Because the person is saying that Allah Ta'ala did not know that there will be different environments, there will be different times, the 21st century will be different, 22nd will be different, and the 30th will be different. So as far as deen is concerned, it is only possible to practice on deen in the first 2-3 centuries, and after that all mankind that will come, then it will not be possible for them to practice on deen. What does that mean? That Allah Ta'ala is unjust and unfair. How can you ask somebody to do something that is impossible? If you are asking somebody to do something that's impossible, then that is injustice. So now if we are saying that it is, that a time has come when it's impossible, I'm not talking about difficult. It can be difficult. And that difficulty also is the creation of our own hands. Most of the difficulty is the creation of our own hands. Nobody forces us to watch the TV and the movie until late night and then say we can't get up for Fajr. So who created that difficulty? Who said must go on watching the porn sites and all the, get occupied with the internet doing research on what's happening under the waters of the ocean and above the skies and everything till 2 o'clock in the morning, and after that say that I can't get up for Fajr. So that is a creation of our own hands. Our businesses, nobody said must go and borrow from the banks on interest and then pay interest upon interest upon interest until the person's business sinks. Now who created that problem? Why didn't the person suffice? Or why wasn't he content with what Allah Ta'ala had given? If you really look at the needs of man, it's not that you must have chocolate, sweets, biscuits and bakings and pastries and everything. If you really look at the needs, if a person can afford it and he has it, well and good. Does it say every person must have a car, must have a nice car, and must have a luxury car, and must compete with the neighbors next door, and must compete with all those who come to school with their big, big, flashy cars, and then say that I'm in difficulty, I can't afford payments. So most of the difficulty is created by us, most of it. But what I'm talking about is when we say it's impossible to practice. There's no question of being impossible. Yes, there can be some mistakes, some slips, some errors, so they make istighfar and tawbah. The Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, Ma hol par padho la hawl. La hawl par. Zamana hum ko badal sake, ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana khud hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. The ummat of Nabi Alayhi Salat Wasalam was the one that changed environments. Look at the Muslims when they went. They came to Africa, they changed the language of the people of Africa. Egypt, was it is in Arabia? What is the language of Egypt? And so many other countries where the Sahaba-i-Kiram went, they changed the levas, the dressing of the people, they changed the language of the people, changed everything. And what we do is we change everything that is Islamic into un-Islamic. Our environment, that is what it does to us. That changes us completely instead of we changing the environment. So it's not impossible. We can say that it is our weakness, our shortcoming. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the himmat, the courage and the strength. Then you see how nice and beautiful our life will be. Then we are not going to be worried and concerned about what the people are saying. People are saying. Today if there's some kind of a wedding of walima or some birthday party, engagement party, this party, that party. And you see, if we are not going to go, then the person will get very angry and upset. Now the person knows very well that there's going to be music, there's going to be photography, there's going to be videoing. My sister, my wife, my mother, your mother, everybody's mothers, sisters and all will be videoed. And then after that the youngsters and everybody, and we don't know which fussaq and fujjar will put the thing on, and they will watch. That they at this wedding, see this woman here, see this girl here, see that boy there. Now we know that, that is what is going to happen. But we say, how can we displease our uncle? How can we displease our auntie? How can we displease our grandmother and our grandfather? So where is the displeasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? It should be the other way around, that we should tell them that why did you make it difficult for me to come and attend this function? Before they even tell us, we must tell them that it is your fault, your mistake. I was very much interested in coming and attending. Why didn't you make it such that you made it easy for me to come? We should tell them. And then after that, if they're still annoyed, well, they're annoyed, what are we going to do about it? But we don't have the himmat to do anything like that. You know, must not break family ties. Who is saying must break family ties? After that, we're going to give them some gift. Go to the house and visit them. go to their home after the wedding the next day and say, I've come now, I want your cup of tea, or dish out for me whatever is left over from the Sunday walima. Nothing wrong with it. Might taste better too. And you get personal attention. In the 2,000, 1,000 crowd, whether you'll have time to talk to you. In a few of my bayans, I mentioned about the wedding cards. At one time, it was getting crazy. 100 and 200 and very, very expensive cards. And what was written on the card? The marriage of so-and-so to so-and-so. That's certain date, certain time. So I mentioned that if a person has to take out a 100 rand note and give to somebody as a gift, and that person takes the 100 rand note and tears it in front of him and throws it in the bin, what would be his reaction? What would be his reaction? He'll feel like giving that person one boot and one slap. Say, I gave you 100 rand, this is what you did with it. I said, but where is that intelligence? Now you're giving the person 150 rand, 100 rand card. He reads in there, the marriage of so-and-so to so-and-so will take place on this date and this time. Then he tears it up and throws it in. I said, in my life of 30, 40 or 40 years after returning from overseas and engaged in this work, so how many cards I must have received? But if you ask me, how many have I got stored and framed and put on my walls? Not one. So what did I do in reality? I did the same thing. I tore that note and put it in the bin. So what benefit was there? Send one photocopy or simple plain notice. Nothing wrong with that. Reduce that cost. Don't do wastage. Like that, how we send other messages around. Like that, send one message. We send SMS message. We send some other kind of message. Or we send an email. Email is cheap now. Send an email. Finish. But if you are giving that expensive card and the person tears it and throws it, then he's doing exactly that. But he took the note and tore it. So since then, most of them stopped sending me cards now. So now I don't know what is the quality of cards that have been sent around. They don't send me anymore. Very few I get. And some people became clever. So what they started doing now is putting one Hadith Sharif and one Quran Ayat with that card now. So that you have to take it and frame it somewhere. So that person's marriage can be perpetual knowledge. True, Allah Ta'ala has given us intelligence, we don't want to use it. Wastage. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar al-Uyub, Ghaffar al-Zunub, Allah. اے میرے اللہ, اے میرے رب کریم, اے میرے رب کریم. Oh my most beneficent, most merciful, most forgiving, most tolerant Allah. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. My beloved Allah, we are turning towards you. We are indeed the most sinful ones on the surface of this earth. Day and night we use your bounties for your disobedience. Teri hi ne'mate kha kha kar jab humare badan mein taqat aati hai, to us taqat ko hum gunahon mein istemal karte hai. When the strength comes into our body, Ya Allah, after eating the food that is provided by you, you sent the water down from the skies, you caused the crops to grow from the earth. My beloved Allah, when we eat your ni'mats and when strength comes into our bodies, then adultery, fornication, rave clubs, discos, cinemas, theatres, haram establishments. Wastage, wastage, wastage. We use your ni'mats, your bounties, my Allah, for your displeasure and for your anger. Ha, mere Allah, if it had not been for your tolerance, we would have been destroyed long, long ago. If there had been another Allah, he would have destroyed us. You dearly love forgiveness, my Allah. You are so merciful, so merciful. Ey Rabbe Kareem, you are so forgiving, so kind. In spite of all our sins, you are giving us so much to eat and drink. You dearly love forgiveness of sins, my Allah. You don't like to give punishment. You get no enjoyment in giving punishment. Ya Allah, what you dearly love is forgiveness. Therefore we are seeking from you. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. In the light of day or darkness of nights. My Allah, we have gained nothing by distancing ourselves from you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except misery, restlessness, anxieties and problems. Our hearts have become dark. Ey mere Allah, tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Hamare haal par raham farma, karam farma. Ey Rabbe Kareem, hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, mujrim aur khatakar hai. Hum sab kuch hai, bande magar tere. Tujhe chhod ke mere Allah, tujhe chhod kar mere Allah, hum gande jaye kahan. Where do we go, my Allah? We are being lashed by storms of fitnas from our right and left, from in front of us and behind us. Fitnas pouring from the satellites above us. My beloved Allah, change the direction of our lives. Our hearts are between your two fingers. You can turn it in whichever direction you wish. Ya Allah, make us your obedient servants. Make us your obedient servants. Fill our hearts with the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us such muhabbat and love of yours and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from. Make us the fish that swims deep down in your ocean of marifat. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, clinics, homes or amongst us, bless everyone who is sick and ailing with complete shifa. Purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of envy, of jealousy, of evil passions and desires. Bless us with the hearts that you give to the awliya-i siddiqeen. My beloved Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the difficulties with halal rizq. Those who are in search of marriage partners, bless them with pious, righteous, compatible marriage partners. Those who are in search of employment, give them halal employment with plenty of barakat. Ya Allah, those who have no children, bless them with pious, righteous children. Those who have children, make their children righteous, pious, obedient to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give the parents the tawfiq to give the children proper upbringing. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our time. Give us the himmat and courage to throw out of our homes and lives everything that's bringing corruption. Ya Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Hum sab ko ek bana de, nek bana de. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. تمنا ہے کہ گلزار مدینہ اب وطن ہوتا وہاں کے گلشنوں میں میرا بھی کوئی چمن ہوتا بسر اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی وہیں جیتا وہیں مرتا وہیں گور و کفن ہوتا. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering and problem of mankind around the world, and especially the Ummat of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless everyone with Islam and with Iman and with Hidayat. Ya Allah, when the time of our departure comes, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. We don't know when the angel of death will strike. Ha, my Allah, protect us from the azab of qabar, azab of jahannam, azab of akhirah. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. How much he begged for us. How much he cried for us. How much of his blood was shed for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations, the tamanna that is in the hearts of each and every one that has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the problem, the sicknesses, diseases, tests and trials of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the pain, the suffering and problems. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Koi mujhse poochhe, main kya maangta hoon. Koi mujhse poochhe, main kya maangta hoon. میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں وصل اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقی رحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین